Looking for more segments from NTI 2017 in Houston, Texas? Another great segment is coming up. It's The Nursing Show. Hi, Jamie Davis here at NTI 2017 in Houston, Texas, and we're here with Beth Henneman, who received the award this year as the 2017 Distinguished Research Lecturer. So congratulations, Beth.
Thank you very much, Jamie.
And why don't you start off by telling my audience a little bit about yourself, maybe starting with how and why you became a nurse.
Okay, well, I became a nurse because one of my best friend's mothers was a nurse, and she was the head nurse, they called it at the time, of the OR. And she would come home and tell us stories about, essentially, she ruled the place and bossed everyone around. I thought, I want to be just like her.
We all know nurses like that, don't we?
Yes, we do. She was great.
That's awesome. So what did you do after you got started nursing after school? And tell us a little bit about your career path.
Okay, well, I pretty much started out right away in the ICU at the Mass General have worked in ICUs in Boston and then in Denver and then in LA and then came back home to the East Coast where I worked in an ICU in Springfield, Massachusetts, Bay State Medical Center, and that's when I started working at UMass Amherst, where I work now.
Excellent. So you've been looking at patient safety and medical errors, and that's something that you'd think we'd been paying attention to all the years along, but it's not the case. Things have changed with how we look at medical errors and patient safety. Can you kind of go over how things are different now than what they used to be?
Yes. I actually talked about this yesterday in my presentation. It wasn't until 1999 when the Institute of Medicine's report to Air is Human came out. And honestly, I had been a critical care nurse for many years, but I had no idea that so many patients were dying from medical errors. And that was a turning point for me. Prior to that, my research was not on patient safety. I did family-centered critical care. Mm-hmm. Open visiting hours and nurse-physician collaboration issues, but that data really changed my perspective. And I really thought that bad things were happening because people were sick, and it was just going to happen. And I took for granted that if someone was critically ill and they had a procedure, something bad was going to happen. If they had a central catheter, it was going to get infected. And then I realized, no, that's not an expectation. That is, unfortunately, an error in the way that we practice. So it was life-changing for me.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's not always just someone's time. That's not the way we should be looking at it. We should be really looking into what could be done, what could have been done,
yes,
and what can be done for the next patient.
That's exactly right. And there was research being done on patient safety as it related to things like falls and pressure ulcers, medication safety kind of issues, but not about errors and not about the nurse's role in preventing and then this concept of recovering errors.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because what are some of the things that nurses are doing or can do to first of all, identify potential for medical error from happening and prevent it from happening?
Okay, so I'll speak to the identification, because the work that I've done, which we frame as recovery of medical error, includes identification, interruption, and correction. So this is from the research. But clearly the most important step is the identification, because if you don't do that, then you're not going to be able to do the other two. From the research that we've done, nurses use strategies like double-checking, like knowing the patient, knowing the plan of care. And if you asked a nurse, they'd say, yes, that's important. But these are really specific strategies that we need to make sure it happens for every patient every time. So, for example, knowing the patient really means that you need to have a very detailed handoff or nursing report on the patient, that the documentation is very well done and up to date. And these are things that sometimes get left behind when we're super busy. The other one that I think is super important is knowing the plan of care. Because again, we get very busy and we work hour to hour, sometimes minute to minute, and we are not aware of the plan. Sometimes there simply is not one. And so I really encourage nurses to be active participants on rounds, because that's where the plan will be discussed and they get their input into the appropriateness of the plan, for example. And sometimes nurses will say to me, I'm too busy to be on rounds. And I say, you're too busy to not be on rounds, because that is where they're discontinuing the medications you're busy giving. So it's really, the things sound common sensey, but we have to do them, and we have to do them correctly. So that's the idea. That's my idea.
No, I think that's great. And I, you know, we've heard so many times recently about the things getting dropped during handoff, but it's still happening. We're still dropping the ball there.
Yes, we are, and it's because people, you know, these are all system issues. People are super busy. They're trying to prioritize getting what they see as important done, but we're missing some of the details because we're rushing through the handoffs. Or people will say, I'm busy with another patient, so just read, like, the record or something. That's not the same. Nurses have critical input into, you know, what's been going on with that patient. And the nurse can also say in what you need to do, you know, in the next shift is X, Y, Z. I think the handoffs are the most important part of the work that we do, because you're passing on what you've learned and then what needs to be done.
Now, I understand you kind of dug into looking at something new on the scene called eye tracking technology, which is fascinating to me. I'm aware of it because I'm a web-based company, and so I know all about eye tracking from how people look at websites, and my website in particular. But it's interesting that this is being applied to nursing care. How did that even come up?
Okay, well, I talked about this yesterday too. Very serendipitously, I actually started working with an engineer at UMass. His name is Don Fisher. And he was one of the first people to use he's been using eye tracking in his research for like 30 years. But he was one of the first people to use it with distracted driving. So he actually has a lab that has a car in it. And he does eye tracking research. So he invited me to come see the car with eye tracking. And when I did the experiment, I thought, wait a minute, this is fascinating. Mm-hmm. He's looking at what I'm looking at. And am I making the right decisions as I'm driving? And I thought, there's something here. Mm-hmm. Because maybe I can use this with nurses and see what they're doing. And what had happened was we had just finished our study, which was qualitative research, asking the nurses what they did, what strategies they used. But that was subjective, and they're saying what they did. And I thought, this is a way that we can quantify exactly what they're doing. So that it's been like about 10 years since I've been using it.
And so what did you find out using this when you applied it? I mean, what did you find out about what nurses were doing or how we were being distracted?
Okay, so I'll start with what they're doing first. Remember how I said how the handoffs and documentation is so important? A study that we just finished, we were looking at what nurses who identified adverse events related to blood transfusion looked at before they realized that something was going wrong with the blood transfusion. And in the majority of cases, what they looked at first and for the longest period of time and kept going back to was the nursing report. So essentially, they were getting data about the patient's risk factors, history with blood, history with infusions, and then they were worried about the blood transfusion because the person was having circulatory overload related to the blood. They didn't look at some of the things that I might have thought they would look at. So that gives us insight into how these nurses who are doing this good work, what are they doing? And so we can create systems that help them to see that data first. So that's in answer to that first part about what are they looking at. Mm-hmm. The interruption thing, the distractions, that's our newest area of research. And that came about, first of all, interruptions have really risen to the top as a big problem in terms of healthcare. But we're not really clear on what exactly happens when the person is interrupted. So our latest research is looking at what happens in terms of distraction, when a person's interrupted, how long does it take them to get back to the task at hand, for example? How many errors do they make? And the most recent thing is we're teaching them what to do when they're interrupted. Because in the research, what has been going on to date is trying to decrease the number of interruptions. But what we have found and we know is it's really hard to decrease interruptions. Patients need you, families need you, nurses need you, doctors need you. So our approach is to help people know what to do to stay on task when they're interrupted.
So my nursing audience is watching this or listening to this, and they maybe want to say, well, how can I start applying some of these concepts to my own bedside care? Are there a few takeaways that you might suggest to them to help them reduce medical errors in their practice?
Yes. The first thing I would say is pay attention to when things go wrong. These are what we call the near miss, and report that either formally or informally to people who will listen and say, you know, this went wrong, but nothing bad happened. But I'm concerned it can go wrong for someone else. So what can we do? So chronically, people underreport. They underreport when bad things happen. We know that. And so we're not able to address underlying issues. So I would say, you know, be brave, take a risk, tell somebody this isn't right. And don't just be complacent and say, well, you know, it's just never going to change, because you don't know. And I've had circumstances where people said to me, it's never going to change, and come to find out no one's ever said anything. It's just kind of been background noise. So I think, you know, take a risk. And the other thing is, if you don't know, say you don't know. You know, these kind of seem basic things. I teach student nurses, so I try to instill some of these things in them. But I think those are things for everybody, no matter how long you've been a nurse. And just don't take things for granted. Things don't have to be the same, and you can do something to change it.
And it's never too late to learn something new and really freshen up your nursing practice.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes I will say I don't know even when I do, just to role model that it's okay. You know, it's okay to, like, been doing it 30 years and not know.
Excellent. Well, Beth, thank you so much for sharing this, and congratulations again on your award.
Thank you so much.
And I want to thank all of you for checking out this segment here from The Nursing Show. And if you want to find more, you can find it on the channel you're watching or listening to now, or over at nursingshow.com. Thanks for checking out this segment. I want to thank our sponsor, Physio-Control, for their continued support of The Nursing Show and helping us get to NTI 2017 in Houston. Remember to thank them and head over and check out all their amazing products that help you provide better patient care wherever you are. You can find them over at physio-control.com. And don't forget to check out all the other segments from NTI 2017 over at nursingshow.com.